Testing. Does this work? Well, good morning, everybody. It's a privilege to be here, and thank you for the invite. It's always a good time when we come and visit Titan Drive Chapel, just looking forward to this time in the Scriptures. And Tim, you're right. That was a big speech, I'm just excited to be here and just to talk about what the Lord has given to us in His Word this morning. I understand you're going through the Gospel of Matthew and have made it quite far through that book. And this morning we're in Matthew chapter 25. And as you open up your Bible to that, just thinking about, yesterday, some of my little ones and I were at that parade, and just amazing to see the community here in Yakima kind of coming together and all the different aspects of having a local small town getting together, and yet how much greater the fellowship here in the assembly as we worship the Lord and as we can be like-minded in things concerning the Lord Jesus. And here you are in Matthew chapter 25, and in the middle of a pair of parables. Last week, you went through another parable, and now this week, the parable of the talents. The parable of the talents. And we're going to take a look at that, starting in verse 14, and just see what the Lord has given to us in His Scriptures. And last week, Tim talked about how these parables were of primary nature to the millennial or to the tribulation saints, and how they apply to them, but they also apply to us. And I think maybe by looking at this parable of the talents, there's some exciting things about what the Lord has for us now in this age and things to be focused on. So we'll start in verse 14, and I just want to read maybe the first five or six verses in Matthew 25, verse 14. "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them, and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them." So we'll just stop there a minute, and just want to talk about, again, it's called the parable of the talents. What is a talent? When we hear the word talent, what do we think of? And when Tim and I were kids, Tim would have been a teenager and I was a preteen, we collected baseball cards, and there was this player, 19 years old, coming up into the major leagues. His name was Ken Griffey Jr. And he was called a 5-tool player, a 5-talent player. You think, well, this first servant was given 5 talents. So Ken Griffey Jr. could hit for power. He could hit for average. He could run the bases well. He could catch the ball well and handle his glove and also throw well. He was a 5-tool player, a 5-talent player. But is that the kind of talent that we're reading about here? And the answer to that is no. It's not that kind of a talent that we're considering here. And I think it's important to understand this up front, that this has to do with wealth, a weight. A talent is a weight. It was a weight that was up to 134 pounds in the ancient world, kind of the weight of a of a man, the weight of a person, was the weight of a talent. And a talent could be a talent of measured as a talent of silver or a talent of gold. Some of your passages might say a bag of silver or a bag of gold or something like that. And here we have 134 pounds of silver. You know, that would have been, you know, tens of thousands of dollars of wealth. Or if it was gold, that would be, you know, millions of dollars worth of gold. So whether we're considering the servant who got five talents or the servant who got one talent, it was a tremendous amount of wealth that the Lord has entrusted to each one of us. And so the Lord has entrusted these talents to his servants, to us. And it's important for us to understand and to think about what those talents are. What has the Lord entrusted to us? What wealth has the Lord entrusted to us? And I've had to kind of meditate on that because the passage isn't totally descriptive about what that is. So just thinking about kind of some of the natural world talents that the Lord's gifted us with, and that would be like our time. You know, our time is a gift. We don't know when our time is up, but each one in this room has time. Each one is alive. You're here this morning. So the Lord has gifted you with a treasure of his, of time, that is to be used. He's given each one here a sphere of authority to be used. You know, adults, you know, maybe it's your work. You have a sphere of work. You've been given some authority and some influence. Maybe it's in the church, or maybe it's at home. You've been given authority and influence that the Lord has invested in you and given to you. Children, you've been given authority at school. There's friends groups and influence that you have in your classes that the Lord has given to you. And then we think about the spiritual wealth that the Lord's entrusted to us. He's given us the scriptures. He's given us the Bible and the truth of the future that we have, that we can share with others. He's given us the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of grace that we can share with others. He's given us the Holy Spirit, and he's given us the ability to go to him in prayer and petition him in prayer. He's given us tremendous wealth in that regard as well. And then the Bible also talks about spiritual gifts. You know, each person that's come to Christ by faith has been given gift or gifts by the Spirit to teach, to get. It may be teaching, it may be giving, it may be hospitality, it may be the gift of encouragement. What is your gift? What has the Lord entrusted to you? Each of you has that a gift if you have received Christ. You have something to contribute. You have been given vast wealth by God. And what are you doing with that wealth? Number one, have you even kind of assessed it? You know, I'm not a regular attender here. I come here maybe once a year, every 2 years. So, you know, I can be here and challenge you and walk away and say, you know, what have you assessed the wealth that the Lord has entrusted to you? Have you taken an accounting and assessed what he's put into your hands to be used for him? And so we think about last week. Last week was the parable of the virgins that my brother Tim covered. And that passage, that parable is linked with this one. In fact, that when that passage starts, the kingdom of heaven is like, in reality, it's just saying again, the Lord just said again, because it was spoken at the same time. These parables are linked together. And that passage last week was about the inner life of the believer. Do you have the oil? Do you have the Holy Spirit? Are you watching and waiting, patiently waiting the Lord? And are you ready for his return? Or are you slumbering and falling asleep on the job, so to speak? And then there's this passage. This passage is about the external life. What are we doing in the external life? What are we doing with the vast wealth that the Lord has given to us, that has entrusted to us? It's his wealth, but he's given it to us to make use of. And so the Lord wants us to have this balance between the internal life and the being ready in the spirit for him and not slumbering, and to be in prayer with him and be building our relationship with him. And the external life, what are we doing with the resources he's given to us? Do we have that proper balance? Do we have that balance in our lives? And think about the book of Nehemiah and, you know, building that wall there. They were at risk from the enemy from without, so they would carry their swords at their sides. But they were also diligent at building during that time. So there's the element of being watchful and being on guard. And then there's the element of building and doing. And what are we doing to build as well? This past week, my son taught me something. Maybe all of you are aware of this, but I wasn't aware of this, that right in the last few days, basically summer ended and fall began, that we basically have the same amount of nighttime as we do daytime. It's the equinox, or equal, I guess it stands for equal nights or something like that. But you just think about the balance that we've had in the last week of day and night. And that's the kind of thing that the Lord wants in our life, that balance of being watchful, you know, and on guard, and the element of being at work and in the daytime and working while there is daytime, while it is time to proclaim the gospel. So let's take a look at verse 14. It says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them." And we see this theme in Scripture, in these parables. We often see the traveler. And who is the traveler? The Lord Jesus. Several parables are about the traveler. In Mark, there's a parable about this homeowner that leaves the home in charge of his servants. Earlier in the gospel, it was the son that was traveling to the vineyard to check on the vineyard. The father had sent servants who had been killed, and finally the son came. So that was the first event. But now the Lord has left, and he's put his servants in charge of a vast amount of wealth. Even last week with the 10 virgins, there was this time of waiting for the groom to come, and the traveling groom that would come. So this theme of the traveler, when we see these parables about the kingdom, it has to do with the time when the Lord is away and what the Lord is building. And the thing in the Lord's kingdom that he's building at this point in time is his church. The church is what's being built now. And you think about the traveler, and he's left his servants in charge. You know, when you leave your home, who do you put in charge of your things? In the ancient world, you know, you didn't have your wealth stored in bank accounts and or your digital wallet or in Bitcoin, but you had your goods in crops and in livestock, and maybe some of you have that today, who are farmers, and your wealth is in your land. And so the question is, who do you put in charge? Who do you put in charge? Who do you trust your wealth to? I know Levi has been dog-sitting this week. I didn't ask who he's dog-sitting for, but somebody's trusted their dog or dogs to Levi. So who do you put your things in charge of? And yet we think about the Lord has put you in charge of his wealth. He's put you in charge of the things that matter to him. And one of those things, I mentioned time and authority and the spiritual gifts, one of those things he's put us in charge of is people. Is people. And God loves people. And Jesus died for people. And he's entrusted us with the gospel to give that out and to show forth. Just like this morning, we showed forth the Lord until he comes. It was a joy to worship with you all this morning. So a little bit about ability. So we said that the talents are not like Ken Griffey Jr. It's wealth that God's given. And yet the passage does mention ability. In verse 15, it says, "And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey." So sometimes maybe we feel inadequate and we feel like we don't have ability to do what God wants. And maybe I feel inadequate up here. You know, I've heard Mike Hawkins speak. I've heard Eric Rumble speak. And maybe I feel inadequate up here. But the Lord doesn't ask us to do what we don't have abilities to do. He asks us to do what we have abilities to do. And our job is to say yes to those things and to use the things that he's entrusted us with. So don't be looking at out there at the super duper saints. We've all seen those the super duper saints that seem to be able to do everything. But just look to make an assessment of what the Lord has for you and to be faithful in the things that he has given for you to do. I think about, used to sell furniture like through the internet, and it was these flat pack. I worked for a company that would sell flat pack furniture. You know, somehow they'd get a huge shelf into a little box like this. And, you get one of those packages and it has everything you need. It's got all the bolts in there and even the tools that you need to build that. And I feel like that's what the Lord's given to each one of us. He's given each of you vast wealth and all the tools that you need to build. The question is, will you build for him? Will you be that servant that does? And so we get to kind of the how of it. You know, how do we build? How does this work? And I can't say I know the answer all the way, but in verse 16, it says, "Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money." And I just think about, like, when Tim and I were younger, we talked about collecting baseball cards. We also traded baseball cards. And Tim had lots and lots of cards. And I had a few cards. And as a younger brother, sometimes lots of cards seemed better. And Tim would trade me big stacks of cards for a couple of cards. I think they probably ended up to be Hall of Famers. So I think he got the better end of the deal, maybe, but we traded. I probably felt good about it at the time. But we were trading cards. We were being traders. And the Lord wants us to be traders of his wealth. He wants us to be dealing it out, to be sharing the gospel with other people, to be using our time for him to build up saints. He wants us to use our giftedness that he's given, each believer given gift or gifts, to be utilized and to be encouraging to other people, to other believers, to be sharpening them. Are we doing that? Be a trader. build up the body of Christ. And we think about, I think in the announcements, Action Club was mentioned. Action Club, where these kids will get together and they'll be active. They'll be making a craft and building something and being diligent about building things, being diligent about studying the Bible and maybe memorizing Scripture, being active, being about what the Lord wants them to do. And that's what the Lord wants for all of us. He wants us to be men and women of action. Are we being that? We don't want to stand pat, and we don't want to bury our wealth. There was two servants that traded. There were two traders, two men or women of action in this that were servants here. And then there was one that buried God's wealth, that buried the wealth that had been entrusted to them. And you think about those two that traded, they were both winners. They both had, made gains on what they invested. And you just think about every trade is a winning trade if you're doing it with the resources God's given to you and you're focused on what the Holy Spirit is leading. If you say yes to Him, you win, and the church wins. And then comes the review and the accounting in verse 19. Says, after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. And this, starting off that phrase in verse 19, after a long time, it says, after a long time. And sometimes maybe we get down or lose our focus because the delay in the Lord's coming. And again, we saw that last week, and the slumbering and the impatience of those virgins. And there is a tendency to think that the Lord has delayed His coming and to slumber on it. And you think about packages again, in the, like we were talking about packages before, but maybe you order from Amazon occasionally, and we get frustrated if it doesn't come tomorrow. We get frustrated about the delays of shipments that come to us, and so we're impatient. But I want to assure you that the Lord is coming back for His bride, and we heard about the bride last week, but the Lord has paid the ultimate bride price. Think about Adam. He's paid the price with a rib for his bride. And then there's Jacob, who paid for 14 years of service for his brides. And then we think about David, who paid by the lives of 200 Philistines to pay for his bride. But the Lord Jesus has paid with His very life. He has paid the ultimate price for His bride. He is coming back for His bride. And so we need to have patience. We need to wait on the Lord. And then in verse 21, He has praise for both of those ones who traded. We see an example. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. And the statement is the same for both of those who traded. He is well pleased with them. And it didn't matter what their abilities were. The question was, were they faithful? And I think about little Thomas here and his desire to give the gospel at his school and just his willingness to share with people the lies ahead if you have not received the Lord, that there is a hell and there is a heaven, and his boldness to share that. He may not see the fruit of that now. He may have to be patient for that. He may need to wait to see what comes of those kids who have heard the gospel. And I just appreciate his heart in sharing with kids at school. But the Lord will reward those servants that give out his wealth, that trade. We just need to be patient, right, Thomas? So have we been faithful? Have I been faithful at using the wealth the Lord's given? And then we see the benefits. In verse 23, I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. And so we look forward to that day. And may we all receive that statement from the Lord and that encouragement of well done. We all want to hear that. But then there is that unfaithful servant in verse 24. Then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. And so here we have a pretender, one who pretended to know the Lord. You know, I knew you were a hard man. Does that sound like Jesus? You know, that doesn't sound like Jesus. And it was an insult. You know, just like last week, it was insulting that those virgins didn't have the oil. And here, too, is one that has insulted the Lord. Verse 26, but his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. So we see here, you know, I think some people say there's no clear verse in the scripture that talent or that giftedness are taken from one person and given to another. But we see here the possibility of that. And we see when you think about, you know, somebody who's gotten sick or somebody who's had surgery recently and they kind of atrophy, their muscles grow weak and they grow tired. And we've been given this wealth and we get out of step with using it. And it's a opportunity for others to come and do that work, to fill that void that you're not voiding, that you're not filling. So we want to keep ourselves from this atrophy, from losing the opportunity to serve the Lord. There's a verse that says, let no man take your crown. Let no man take your crown. So are we stirring up the gifts within? Are we using the resources that God's given to us? Are we doing what we can for him? And then verse 29, for to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast that unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And here we see the judgment is individual. Each person will be judged. And I think the judgments are separate. The first two were judged, and then it says, and then. But to me, this individual, it wasn't just that they weren't doing works. We don't believe that you're saved by your work. We're saved by faith in Jesus Christ, the finished work of him on the cross. And the first question before you try doing anything for the Lord is, are you saved? Have you received the good news that Jesus died for your sins? And I think this is an example of a person who has not received the love of Jesus. He didn't know his Lord. And that's the first step, is to receive the finished work of Christ on the cross, who paid for our sins on the cross. And so for Tiatin and the saints here, obviously I think that those that are saved, we want to press forward in this aspect of, what are we doing for him? What are we doing with the vast wealth that he's given to us? There's a verse in 2 Corinthians 12:15 that says, I will gladly spend and be spent for you. The Apostle Paul saying, I will gladly spend and be spent for you. Are we spending? Are we trading? Are we being men and women of action? And are we dealing with the vast wealth, the riches that God's given to each one of us? I think the first step is to assess what that is and understand that the Lord has given to us some responsibilities, and to be excited about that, and to be about his business. It should give us purpose and excitement in life and something to look forward to as the day approaches. So let's close our time in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come to you and just give thanks for this time in your word. We give thanks that you've given us the Bible and just the roadmap of life. You've given to us the Holy Spirit to guide and direct us. You've given us the gospel of Jesus Christ and just the good news of your love and care for each one here. And you've given us the gifts that we need to encourage the saints, to build up the saints, and to evangelize and share. For how can they hear without a preacher, Lord? So I would just give thanks for all your provision in these things, and help us to find that balance in life, that balance of watching and waiting and drawing near to you in the Spirit and building up our relationship with you and our friendship with you, and to be about your business, Lord, to be about the things that while you're traveling, while you're away, that we would be obedient to you and dealing and trading with these things that you've given to us. And so we just commit that to your care. We give thanks again for the time of worship and fellowship this morning. And we just commit this time to your care. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please stand with us.